Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting. Kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master show. This week, we start a new series speaking about how finance professionals can drive value creation. This is the core of what we should do. Not compliance, not control, but value creation. Over the coming weeks, months even, we will provide practical perspectives on exactly how you can do this. Because in our experience, we do this too little, but we have an advantage. And I'll get back to of how we can leverage this to do it a lot more. Before we dig into today's content, let's just check some of the comments that we got on the event page. We have here Marie saying, you're speaking about if finance should be a cost center or a value driver. I would say it's a cost center whose purpose is to drive value creation, but we'll be listening to hear the discussion. And I would say if you think about cost center versus profit center, I tend to agree because we're not a profit center in a classical sense that you have a P&L. But we should be profit or even value drivers. So let's get back to that. Then we have Emmanuel says, the finance function can indeed evolve into a powerful value driver. Shifting perceptions will unlock new opportunities for strategic growth and impact. And that's exactly where we want to go. Strategic impact, strategic value creation. Then we have a LinkedIn user here saying, every function is a value driver. If well managed, motivated, and working together like an engine, many moving parts which deliver a targeted, powerful output. And yes, absolutely true. Finance is not the only value driver in the company. Everyone should be value drivers. We just have, as I said, an advantage that puts us in pole position to do this. So great comments already to kick off the show. And meanwhile, we will get going with today's content. So this morning, European time, we published the blog post, is or how can finance professionals be a value driver? So the great question is the finance function a cost center or a value driver? Fundamental question with a complex answer. If you ask a random person in a company, they would likely say cost center, which has been the stereotype for ages. However, for the past 20 years, there's been a movement to try and create a different narrative. Instead of merely focusing on compliance and control, finance professionals should become business advisors, whose primary purpose is to drive value creation in the company. This movement has been spurred by outside pressures, CEOs and markets demanding increased value creation from corporations, and internal desires for finance to play a more prominent role in the company. This is undoubtedly a positive narrative. However, it has been challenging for finance professionals. The simple reason is that most value creation doesn't happen in a vacuum. Finance professionals can't create much value from their cubicles in a spreadsheet. Instead, they should go into other departments and out to experience how their company's business is conducted. This sounds simple enough, yet it's a big challenge for professionals who are not overly enthusiastic about dealing with others, especially outside their profession. This requires new skills and new practical approaches to driving value creation. Previously spoken about how CFOs can win the war on talent or for talent by establishing capability building academies to increase the skills. Now we will dedicate a series to practical approaches to driving value creation. I have been part of doing this many times. I remember in my previous role in industry, we created a framework for how we wanted to do this. It started with a vision or a why statement, purpose statement. It said finance professionals were there to drive value creation as a trusted partner. So we'll talk about the value creation piece and how to do that throughout this series here, whereas the trusted partner piece we'll leave for another time. The simplest way to approach this is by constructing a value driver tree. This will be relevant to most companies and be a familiar way for finance professionals to break down value creation. And if you go to the blog post from this morning, you can find an example of a value driver tree there. but we'll dig a lot more into that. So here's a question for you. Do you have a value driver tree model for your company? Question mark. Let us know. Okay, so what is this value driver tree? From a financial viewpoint, most companies aim to create value for their shareholders. This can be expressed as the net present value of future cash flows to shareholders. When constructing a value driver tree, you must ensure that the components satisfy the MISI principles for shareholder value creation. That means the components are mutually exclusive, yet collectively exhaustive. In other words, each driver in the tree should be unique, with no overlaps to other drivers. And in total, all the drivers should cover all the ways that shareholder value creation can be created. This helps you take a holistic yet complete approach to value creation, making it easier to prioritize where to put your efforts. A simple value driver tree following such an approach can be seen in the blog post from this morning. But if you want me to send it to you directly, feel free to send me a message on LinkedIn and I will get it to you. In this value driver tree, you will notice how revenue, cost, and assets cover the financial statement, let's say the historical perspective. And then we have future expectations that look forward. Naturally, future expectations can be challenging to make MISI, but they cover a broad perspective with countless value creation opportunities. Let's quickly review each driver, and in the coming shows, we will deep dive into them and discuss practical approaches to how you as finance professionals can drive value creation. So the first is revenue growth. Now, revenue is a simple function of price multiplied by volume. Naturally, in multi-product market customer companies, there's bound to be a mix effect between these. Price can be broken down into several drivers, from list prices to effective prices, like after discount. Similarly, volume can be divided by products, market, customers, and so on. One way to analyze revenue is by conducting a sensitivity analysis, where you investigate how much volume would be impacted by a specific change in price, for instance. Then you have cost efficiency. Essentially, you could also look at volume multiplied by cost for each line item. However, each driver typically has a different anatomy, so we opt for looking at each cost item line by line in the financial statement. COGS, or cost of goods sold, would be broken down into unit cost, whereas headcounts will drive SG&A, sales, general, and administrative expenses. One way to analyze cost is by benchmarking units internally or against competitors if comparable data is available. Then there's asset efficiency. This covers all balance sheet items. You could argue that equity is missing as a driver. Instead of debt, you could name it as funding. For example, we look at cost efficiency line by line, since each driver works differently. Investments typically follow a business case approach, whereas working capital requires constant optimization and is broken down into drivers like DSO, days sales outstanding, or DPO, days payable outstanding. One way to analyze asset efficiency would be to consider the cash conversion cycle, meaning how fast sales translate into cash in the bank. Finally, we have future expectations. This covers internal and external drivers and the risk profile you want as a company. Speaking about the risk profile, different companies have different risk profiles, and the higher the risk profile, if you will, the higher the return shareholders or investors would demand getting from your company, just to give an example. All these determine your ability to create revenue in the future. But of course, all future drivers will turn into historical drivers sooner or later. This is also where you take a strategic perspective on your company, which is a separate topic altogether. If you want more info on the strategic topic, send a message to me on LinkedIn saying strategic leadership, and I'll send you our article from this year on that topic. It's very exciting, but let's not get carried away here. One way to analyze the trends could be to perform a competitor analysis. Consider what you can learn from them and what your company's unique selling points are. Once you adopt a value driver approach, you will never run out of ways to drive value creation as a finance professional. This will ensure you can always bring relevant insights to the management meeting and help your stakeholders meet or beat their targets. Here's another question for you. Which of these value drivers do you primarily work with? Let us know in the comments. And as usual, all comments, all questions we get in the show, we'll bring them up here on screen. So it's also a nice way to have your insights featured as well. So I promised you I was going to share an advantage that we have as finance professionals. So why is it that finance professionals are ideally placed to drive value creation? You may wonder why this role of a value driver falls to finance. There's a simple answer though. We have an unfair advantage. This comprises five factors that give us an unparalleled position that no one inside the company can replicate and no outside consultant can beat. So here are the five factors. Number one, analytical skills. Finance professionals are some of the best at analyzing numbers and business challenges in general. Any business leader values this trait. Number two, business acumen. We understand how business is conducted and how it relates to the numbers, which allows us to generate deeper insights. Number three, cross-value chain. Finance spans the value chain. Maybe not everyone, but as a function, it allows us to see the business from a broader perspective. Number four, access to data. Finance can access the company's financial and non-financial data. Pairing these data sets adds further depth to the insight generation. And finally, number five, a seat at the table. By design, finance has a seat in most meetings and can make our presence heard. That allows us to make a difference. We challenge you to name any function or consultant who could be disadvantaged. Just put it in the comments. You know, happy to hear them, happy to be challenged, happy to discuss with you. This is a key point. We are stating an opinion here that we have an unfair advantage that no one else can beat. So let us know if you think anyone can beat it. Of course, we need business partnering skills to leverage this advantage. Being at the table matters little if all you do is sit in the bag and take some notes and send an email afterwards. You need to be involved. You need to make yourself heard. But you have the opportunity to do that. Of course, we're still working on developing these skills, and that's fine, right? But this is just to talk to you about the opportunity that we have. So are you leveraging your unfair advantage? Do you even know you had one? Curious to hear. Let us know in the comments. It doesn't change the fact that finance professionals are in an ideal position to drive value creation, whether we have business partner skills or not. We need to activate our advantage and get started. So if you need help with that, send me a message on LinkedIn. Let's talk how we can do this, because the potential is crazy. I used to say that we need to be our own weight worth in gold. And I don't care if you are skinny or not, it's a lot of money, right? And we need to go out there and create it. And it's possible, of course, a company needs to have a certain size and all that, but be that as it may. Please share your experiences working with the unfair advantage, being a value driver, and help others unlock their unfair advantage too. Become unbeatable drivers of value creation. Do it in the comments, both here in the video now or afterwards, or do it on the blog post this morning. It's on us to do this, and I know you can do this. I've done this myself. It took some time, but it means it's definitely not impossible, not even for an introvert finance professional like myself. You can do it too. Robert says, thank you. You are welcome. This was an excellent conversation, practical framework. Yes, we want to make it simple, practical, and actionable. Why? Because it increases the chance of you actually being able to use it and doing something different. And as Hans says, he's agreeing. I hope it's to the whole thing. Maybe it was a specific point, and that's also fine. Next week, we will deep dive into revenue or growing the company and speak about different ways we can do this. I'll share some of my examples from my career, and hopefully you will share some of yours too. And each week, we'll go through one of the four segments. Then we'll round it off with some more practical perspectives on how to really just knock it out of the park. But with that, let's round off today's show. Hope to see you again next week. And meanwhile, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn anytime. Lots of valuable content coming there. But yeah, see you next week.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting.